Hello, my beautiful people. Welcome to yet another episode of the Indie Founder Podcast. Yeah, that's the new jingle. I sing it because this is a very low budget production. Indie Founder Podcast. The podcast about what's really like to bootstrap a company. My name is Tiago. And today's episode we will be answering my most ginormous problem, my dilemma, the entrepreneur's dilemma, something that I've been struggling with for the past years. Yeah, I think that I finally have a solution for that. And the dilemma is when to work and when to rest. Yeah, that's the topic. It's very philosophical, but very important topic around entrepreneurship. As an entrepreneur, you always want to be working, at least until you kind of match your completely absurd goals of, you know, getting multiple millions. And until you get there, you just keep working, 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 and ignoring all the other aspects of life, a healthy life, you know, like partners and friends and traveling and meditation and just time for yourself. So yeah, that'll be the topic. Before we get started, first of all, why don't you follow me on Twitter or X? My name is WB Tiago. Follow me there. It's really cool. I tweet a lot and I always share my journey and things that I learn. So yeah, you can follow me there. And as well, make sure to subscribe to this podcast. Yeah. How do you do so? Probably you can't. I don't know. You normally subscribe to a video, right? Well, if you are on YouTube, you can subscribe to the channel. If you are on Spotify, you can follow the podcast. And I'm sure in any other platform that I don't currently use, you can do something like that. And you can leave me a review. 5-star review would be much appreciated. Now, without further ado, let's get started. So as you know, I have been an entrepreneur, full-time entrepreneur for, I don't even know anymore. I lost count. Was it like, what, 3 years? Maybe 3.5 years, getting to 4. And since then, it's been the most fulfilling job in my life. I had other jobs before. And funny enough, even when, and I don't know if you identify with this, but when I have a lot of friends, obviously, that are still in the 9-to-5. And there's always this kind of, I don't know how to say, uncertainty or anxiety. They always feel that no matter how happy and amazing conditions they have, there's always something missing. My good friend, Alex, the party boy. Hey, Alex, if you're listening to this, hello. He is a very talented developer or data engineer. A very, very smart boy. But he's always been also struggling with this. We had a nice conversation not too long ago and about this, about how first he worked in a company where he had great conditions, nice kind of social and work-life balance, good salary, but they were working for 2 years in a product that was not out yet and it was not fulfilling. He felt that he was doing something that had no meaning, no purpose, no one was using it. Then he went to another company. Again, big company with a lot of products out there and with a very nice job, very good salary. But then again, he felt that he didn't identify himself with the mission of the company. So I told him, dude, just go to a startup. If you want to feel like you matter, if you want to feel like you can contribute, that you are not irreplaceable, or that you are actually a very valid, important member of a team, go to a startup. That's what I did before, and it worked for me, so I guess it would work for him too. And he did. Now he's working in a startup, and he loves it. He loves it. He has a lot of purpose, at least. He has that purpose part is fixed. But now, he says that he has the other problem, which it, he feels that he doesn't have like personal life. He always wants to be working. There's this current always stress. And now he feels that he's missing that other part of the jobs that he had previously. So there's always this dissatisfaction. That's the word I wanted to say before. This dissatisfaction with something. And it happened with me too when I was working for others. I started and at first it was really cool, exciting, new. After a while, I don't know, just I didn't want to do it anymore. What was the point? I'm working for others. I don't know. Since I got my own job, my own company, that has changed completely. Like, there's not a single day, there has been not a single day for the past 4 years that I felt unfulfilled. Not a single day. I know it's crazy, but it's exactly true. I'm so fulfilled with this job. It's absurd. Like, this was my calling. And following this calling has been definitely one of the best decisions of my life. At the same time, though, it's been really, really hard to disconnect. Because, first of all, I really enjoy doing this. So I enjoy doing this much more than a lot of other things that used to be my hobbies. If I'm watching Netflix, I'm always thinking, why am I doing this? I'm just wasting time. I should be working. And this started to kind of consume a little bit of my life. I'm not going to lie. Even for like social events, you know, doing other stuff, being with friends, I would always consider, wait, like, why am I not working? I like it more. Or it's very exciting as well. Not that it's just different. And then there's the second part to it, which is it's my company. So that thing, when I used to work for a startup and I still felt this fulfillment, but at some point I was thinking, hey, why am I putting all this effort to something that is not mine, something that I don't fully control? But here I do. So there's literally no reason for me not to keep working. And at the same time, I have goals. I have very specific goals. I want to get to a specific paycheck that I am not there yet, neither me or my co-founder, which would be at least double of the current paycheck we have. And more than that, obviously, the milestone of the million, you know, getting a company that makes 1 million per year. It's like this goal that every indie maker has. Like, we don't really know why, but it's just, you know, is more a vanity metric than anything else. And so it feels there's always reasons to keep playing the game, right? And because of that, I've been always thinking, okay, it's justifiable. I just keep working, because if I don't do it, if I rest, if I, you know, kind of watch Netflix, others, my competitors, they are doing. So I'm just delaying my dreams and perhaps allowing my competitors to take over. Now, there's always a minimum amount of rest that everyone needs to have, right? I mean, you need to sleep and you need to take some time for yourself. Otherwise, you might just burn out. Like, this happens to many, many entrepreneurs. And as well, even if you don't burn out, even if you don't get some mental disease, you might just lose your productivity. And you can lose your productivity if you are, you know, very tired, for instance, if you don't sleep well. So, but I started to think or compare entrepreneurship with being top athlete. Top athletes, they really control everything, since their diets, the way what they drink, when they sleep, everything, to optimize their results, to get the best out of their body, right? So it's the same. I started to think about entrepreneurship like that. On, okay, I just need to optimize everything. Okay, I can have a little bit of social time, being with my wife, being with my friends, with my family, a little bit of social time. Exercise, very important, so I need to have some exercise, but as well, not so much, because if I do too much exercise, then I get too tired. So, or like if I do exercise every day, then it just takes too much of my time. So I started to optimize my time and my routine so that I could focus the most time working. And for a long time, I thought this is the only way. This is the only way. And I always thought of this when I was working at Trivago, my first company. I told this story before, but back then Trivago was at its peak, and it was a typical millennial tech company, you know, with beers in the fridge and avocados and parties, and we didn't work much really. Like, of course we worked sometimes. I would work, it depends on you actually, so some people would work more than others. Sometimes I would work a lot, but other times, and you could see a lot of developers still, this happens, they work maybe 6 hours a day or something, because, you know, the market allows it as well, because there's a lot of demand for developers. But I always thought, okay, this is nice, this is really cool, but this is not the most productive a company can be, for sure, right? Like, if you're just giving so many things that are not work-related to your employees, sure, they'll be happier, sure, maybe retention will increase. But in the long term, I don't think productivity will increase. So I always thought that in the end, even if I work, let's say, 16 hours a day and only the first 8 are productive, the other 8 are semi-productive, and semi-productive is better than nothing. So I'm still ahead. I'm still ahead compared to someone that is working 8 hours and just stopping. Recently, I think I found the solution, at least in my mind, to allow me to rest, because it always has been this duality, because I want to have time for myself. I want to have time for the ones I love. I want to have time to do other things, to pursue other hobbies, to travel. And I miss this. I would look at, you know, kind of do some introspect and then think, well, I miss this. I miss these friendships that I'm losing because I'm not investing as much on them. The things that I'm missing out because I'm not, you know, yeah, I'm not so, I don't find it as a priority. So, yeah. Then, I think yesterday or 2 days ago, I kind of started changing a little bit my mind again. And, being an entrepreneur, I'm always learning. So, this might change in the future. But I think I've realized what is the best way to look at it. So, let me tell you the story on how I got there. My co-founder and I, we are always kind of talking. And we like to just ride our bicycles and have, like, these meetings. We were always kind of bouncing ideas, and often our conversation is either planning things, or it tends to be a little bit more destructive. Not in a bad way or not in an incredibly bad way, but we are kind of complaining to each other and complaining about why we are not there yet, why we are not growing, what are the things that are missing. And funny enough, then sometimes when we go to meetups, there's a really great meetup here in Lisbon called the Indie Beers with a lot of other indie makers. But when we meet other entrepreneurs, we always look at them with a little bit of jealousy. Obviously, when we're talking to like entrepreneurs that are full-time indie makers and so on. Because when they ask us about how is PodSqueeze, our response is always very negative. It's always, it's okay. Yeah, the growth is not very good. We are stagnated. Because that's how we feel. Like, we feel that we are not doing our best, that there's something missing. And then we ask the same question to them. And when they say, yeah, we are growing. And I don't know, when they say we just got 150 clients and we are making this amount of money, the first thing that comes to my mind, and I think also to my co-founder's mind, is, wow, these guys are doing it. These guys are doing it and we are not. Funny enough, then when you start really drilling down on the numbers, you realize that they are also not doing it. Actually, oftentimes we are making more money, we are taking more money out of the company than they are. A lot of the times, even if they make a higher MRR, they have a lot of expenses, they have a bigger team, or in the end, they just got some investment and they are not even profitable. But for some reason, the way they talk, it seems that they have everything figured out. Everything is figured out for them. So then, yesterday, we had a conversation like this with a really nice guy. Anyway, we were just biking back and I was telling this to my co-founder, like, yeah. It seems that we are just doing all the good decisions. We are taking all the good decisions. If we look at everything we have done, if we look to everything we have learned, like, there's not a lot of things that we can go back and say, yeah, that was a mistake. Of course, there's a few, but not huge things. And when we compare ourselves with other entrepreneurs, we are very much comparable, right? They are not much more ahead. We are very much the same. So we are keeping up. That whatever we are doing, it's working. It might not be kind of filling all of our expectations, but whatever we're doing, it's working. So the problem is not our decisions. So what's the problem? Then I realize that there's two phases in entrepreneurship. One is exploration. The other one is augmentation. Exploration is when you are just trying out many things. This is very, very important. And this applies, I believe, to either like any stage of your startup. When you're launching a company, you just explore. You start multiple projects. You make many tweets. You see, or you are in the lookout for certain indications, certain like a little amount of traction that is out of the ordinary, or people really asking you questions about something you said. That's how we find products that we want to develop. Actually, that happened with PodSqueeze, happened now with Rank Chase, our new product. I'll make a whole episode about it. Yeah, I was just, for Rank Chase, for instance, which is a tool for SEO, I was just tweeting about SEO because we are really into that. And I realized that for backlinks, a lot of people, every post, every tweet I would do around backlinks, people would get excited. There was like a little bit more engagement, a little bit more likes around those tweets. So I thought, maybe this is something. And then kind of we started exploring Rank Chase, which is a tool like a Tinder for backlinks. That's what Rank Chase is. So that's the first phase, exploration. The same, by the way, when your company is more established, we are always doing exploration on marketing. What types of tweets work? What type of marketing shall we do? Shall we do video? Shall we do SEO? Always exploring new things. Always exploring new things. And then there's the second phase, which is augmentation. So this is when, in your exploration phase, you find something cool, something that you think there's something there, and then you figure out how to make it more efficient, how to scale it up to the max, how to take all of the juice, to squeeze out all of the juice from that thing you learn. So if you realize that, let's say, LinkedIn posts for PodSqueeze around podcasting is something that works, then how can we make these posts every day or every 2 days? How can we take the most conversion out of it, etc.? So those are the two phases. And I realize as well that a lot of the work that I'm still doing, a lot of the work that Joe and I, that is occupying most of our time, is work that anyone can do. I still code a lot, especially now with the new products. I'm like coding a lot. I write, and Jerome writes a lot of the blog posts. We write all the Reddit posts, the Twitter posts. There's a lot of manual work. Sure, some of those tasks are already automated and kind of, or either automated or delegated to our team. But there's still like, I still feel, and this is what Joe and I always figure out, is that we always have a lot of ideas, a lot of things that we still want to explore, but in the end, we just can't explore them because we don't have the time. We are just too busy. So one thing that I've been kind of thinking is, hey, why don't you just raise money? Because if our problem is time, then we can just raise money. And let's say even if we raise 100K, 200K, we can just take that money and invest in people that we can delegate these tasks to. We can hire people that know things, right? So let's say now I am getting into cold emailing. Either I can spend 1 month figuring out cold emailing, or I can pay someone to do that for me. So why would I figure it out? Like, I mean, if I'm building a house or renovating something or fixing something that I'm not qualified to fix, I will hire someone. I will not try to figure out first, right? Let's say, if it's building a house, I'm not going to build a house and figure out how to build a house. Like, I will hire someone to build a house for me, right? So why don't we do the same with entrepreneurship? So this was the first kind of thought. First of all, that we need to be more confident. that we cannot, when every time we're talking with others and even with ourselves, we cannot just say, yeah, we're kind of going, things are not working great, we're stagnated. No, we need to look at ourselves as professional entrepreneurs with a lot of experience that we fucking know what we are doing. That's really, really important. Second thing, have you ever checked the statistics around wealth inequality in the US? I know this is, it seems like a huge jump to another topic, but bear with me. It's everything will kind of make sense in the end. It's crazy. 1% of the people in the US own half of the country's stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. Isn't this absurd? It's crazy. The bottom 50% of Americans only own 0.5% of the stocks, ETFs, and so on. That's crazy. Like, there is a huge inequality. The top 10% has so much more money than the rest 90%. It's absurd. It's really absurd. Just for you to understand, in 2023, the top 20% own 31% of the wealth of the whole country. And that's a lot. And the top 1%, it's very scary. If you go to the Elon Musk's and Bezos, it's absurd the amount of how money they have. So then, one thing is for sure, they are not working that amount of time more than the medium or average person in the US, right? They might have, I don't even know how much more times their wealth is compared to the average American, but they are definitely not working that same proportion more. So this just shows that the time you invest does not equal more money, does not equal more productivity. There's something else. However, what we've always been told is that, no, you need to work. Like, I always felt that, like, when my parents were telling me, everyone says, you need to work. The more you work, the more you gain. But that's wrong. Because if you go to the top 1%, that's not true. Just for you to understand, I was just doing this exercise. This thing that I realized was that we have someone that comes here to clean the house. Very professional, does an amazing job, really. Like, it's definitely a great investment for me, because if I think about it, that's time that I have back. So I can let the professional do this, the cleaning, and then I have one more hour, two more hours each week that I can focus on my projects. And normally, because if I'm a developer, if I'm whatever, I make more per hour than the cleaning person. So it's a good investment, right? But then I realized that with that money I make, I just put in ETFs. And in one day, without doing anything, just by having my money in a specific ETF, I make enough money to pay 1 week of cleaning. Isn't this crazy? It's absurd. It's absurd because I'm not doing anything. I just have the money there. I'm not working. But this, just having the money there, is enough for me to produce enough so that one person will come here and for like 3 hours clean the apartment. It's absurd. So yeah, everything together, let me just put all the pieces of the puzzle together. A, being confident in our skills. Being more confident in our skills. B, time is not money. Time is not money. There's other things, because these really rich people, they are not working a million times more than I am, for sure. Right? And that's basically what I've realized. Okay, then everything, my theory that I should just kind of abdicate of my time with my family and friends and traveling to focus 100% in my workings and my entrepreneurship is wrong. Because that's not how I get my goals. So how is it? And there is, I think, investing the money. If we are making money, we just should invest it. And I'm not saying investing everything in ETFs, but invest it in a company. Invest it in people that can that can take over some of these tasks. And that's basically what I'll try to do. Sure, as an entrepreneur, as a bootstrapper especially, that money that I'm investing is money that I'm not taking in my salary, right? Because everything that is not invested in the end of the month goes to me and my co-founder, right? So that money will not go to us. We'll need to do like a pay cut, but it will be worth it because we are saving hours and hours of time. This time that is I can be using to be, you know, doing things for myself and to do things that only I can do, like managing the business. No one else can manage the business for me, but other people can code. Other people can set up my email automation. Other people can set up our SEO. And we have done this before. I mean, we have done this with our SEO audit. And the reason why we are so good at SEO now, or one of the reasons how everything started, was because we hired a professional and we paid them well to just do a full audit and tell us what to do. This saved us so much time of figuring out, of frustrations, because we hired a professional. So in the end, that's my kind of conclusion now, which is I will always try to delegate. No more spending hours and hours and hours coding, doing tasks that other people can do. I might do the exploration. I might try to realize if a few things work, but in the end, the augmentation especially, I need to give it to someone else. And yeah, that's basically it. That's basically how I figured out how I can allow myself to rest, to travel, to do other things, and still believe that I'm doing the best for my business. So in the next few weeks, I'll be trying out this theory. And then I'll keep you posted and I'll let you know if it works or not. Yeah, that's basically it. I hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Indie Founder Podcast. If you do, follow me on Twitter, WBTiago. And yeah, that's it. I wish you a great entrepreneurial, indie-making, bootstrapping week. And see you next Monday. Bye-bye.